Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
California farmers, ranchers, and farm workers work together to produce more than 400 different specialty crops, and California Grown, also known as the Buy California Marketing Agreement, was created to promote those products. California Grown is a statewide marketing program that utilizes creative storytelling and other innovative approaches to reach millions of consumers. The message for Californians is simple. Buying California products brings direct benefit to the state's economy, communities, farmers, ranchers, and consumers. And the message for out-of-state consumers is equally simple. California products are high-quality, nutritious, and diverse. The California Grown license plate is an iconic symbol around the world and encourages all consumers to be Californian by California Grown. The program's annual report to the California Legislature is available on the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. Chico State Center for Regenerative Agriculture and Resilient Systems, along with its College of Agricultural and Natural Sciences, has received a California Climate Action Seed and Matching Grant totaling approximately $6 million through a historic partnership between the University of California and the State of California. Over $80 million in climate action grants were awarded to support the implementation of solutions that directly address state climate priorities. The grant will fund the California Soil Carbon Accrual Project and Workforce Training Program designed to conduct on-farm research and promote sensing modeling technologies while providing professional workforce training throughout California. Project lead and CRAS director Cindy Daly said the funds will be instrumental in advancing the university's climate goals and as a regional partner working towards a higher degree of preparedness. The purpose of the project is to address soil erosion, degradation, and diminished water availability, all critical issues facing California agriculture. The evidence suggested that regenerative farming practices can reduce soil disturbance, increase soil organic matter, improve water holding capacity, reduce crop inputs, enhance soil biological function and microbial diversity, and support the accumulation of soil carbon. This multi-sector, multidisciplinary project will tackle these issues. Number one, the Soil Carbon Accrual Project is designed to historically compare carbon cycling associated with the standard or conventional farming system, like full tillage herbicide, fertilizer, pesticides, and no cover, to a regenerative farming system, such as cover crops, no-till or conservation till, and crop rotations, using Eddy covariance tower technology and soil microbiological DNA probes to quantify the impacts on soil carbon accrual, soil microbial diversity, water use efficiency, nutrient density, and economic return. Two, the California Agriculture Resiliency Index uses sustainability factors like water, resources, soil quality, water use, erodibility factors, groundwater recharge value, existing land uses, wildlife habitat potential, and endangered species habitat to protect long-term resiliency for agricultural regions and sustainability for diversified farming systems within the state. The model is being collaboratively developed with Chico State's Geographical Information Center. And third, the Online Technical Assistance Provider Training and Professional Certificate Program in Climate Smart Regenerative Agriculture Practices and Implementation are designed to increase the availability of technical assistance to support rapid transition of California farms and ranches to climate smart agricultural practices. New courses will include carbon farming planning, pollinator habitat, and traditional ecological knowledge. Project investigators hail from Chico State's College of Natural Sciences and a College of Agriculture and a university farm. Following Tropical Storm Hillary damage to California's specialty crops, U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, a California Democrat, hosted United States Department of Agriculture officials alongside local leaders and growers to announce bipartisan legislation to improve access to federal agriculture disaster programs. The announcement comes ahead of the September 30th deadline for Congress to pass the 2023 Farm Bill. The conversation focused on efforts to ensure producers who grow specialty crops can get back on their feet following natural disasters. The Fair Access to Agriculture Disaster Programs Act, which is co-led by Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, would have waived the adjusted gross income restriction on producers who derive 75% of their income from farming, ranching, or related farming practices from receiving USDA disaster program relief. Senators Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California, John Corrin, a Republican from Texas, will also co-sponsor the bill, and Representatives Jimmy Panetta, a California Democrat, and Kat Comack, a Florida Republican, have introduced companion legislation in the House of Representatives. The Alliance for Food and Farming hosted its sixth Safe Fruits and Veggies Farm Tour for registered dietitians, health and nutrition writers, and influencers recently, featuring crops on the Monterey Peninsula of California. Tour participants visited leafy greens, vegetable and berry farms, as well as cooling and processing facilities in the area, often referred to as the salad bowl of the world. They strive to provide an experience that shares the care and commitment of farmers and farm workers to bring safe and healthy foods to consumers, according to Kate Tynan, AFF Board Chair and Senior Vice President of the Northwest Horticultural Council. She says they explore and discuss the challenges they face to these growing crops and how farmers adjust, adapt, problem solve, and continue to move forward. The tours expand on AFF's continuous efforts to provide science-based information to media and consumers about farming and produce safety. The guests include contributors to the Today Show, Good Morning America, New York Times, Washington Post, ABC News, Shape, Parents, Martha Stewart, Eating Well, and more. On the first day, guests toured farms in the Salinas Valley as well as Taylor Farms' processing facility. In addition to seeing spinach harvesting, the guests learned about the importance of beneficial insects in organic and conventional production from the Taylor Farms Earthbound Farms agronomy teams. It was followed by a demonstration of how these beneficial insects are distributed throughout a broccoli field using a parabug drone, further highlighting how technology is advancing improved and more efficient farming practices. Another live demonstration featured an autonomous weeder operating in a leafy greens field. The day concluded with a tour and dinner at the iconic Earthbound Farm Stand in Carmel Valley. On day two, the tour moved to the Watsonville area to see strawberry, blueberry, raspberry, and blackberry farms. At Rocha Brother Farms, AFF guests observed and participated in harvesting strawberries into clamshell containers to experience firsthand the skills of farm workers. In addition to the real-time social media posts during the tour, the influencers will be providing more in-depth content about their experience and what they learned in the coming weeks. Scientists with the Agricultural Research Service may have found a potential remedy for the untreatable disease that has devastated the American citrus industry since it arrived in Florida in 1998. Wana long being, also known as citrus greening, is a disease that infects citrus trees in a way that renders the fruit useless and slowly kills the tree. Researchers at the ARS Crop Improvement and Genetics Research Unit in Albany, California, have discovered a way to augment the tree's natural resistance to pathogens, including HLB. According to James Thompson, a geneticist at CIGR, by incorporating receptors that can recognize pathogens, they are able to activate the plant's own innate immune responses. The challenge in developing this approach was to identify the appropriate HLB recognition genes, incorporate enough of them to be effective, and design a pathway to introduce them into trees. One way to deliver the genes is using agrobacteria. Agrobacteria is a microbe that originated in soil but has been turned into a plant engineering tool. Thompson says essentially you clone the DNA of interest, in this case from plants that have a natural resistance, the pathogen of concern, and add it to the agrobacteria. Then the agrobacteria adds that specific bit of DNA to the genome.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
There's an old proverb that says, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. The East Stanislaus Resource Conservation District has put their own spin on that and is teaching kids to cook in the hopes of providing them with enduring life skills. Miriam Jacobs, East Stanislaus RCD Education Coordinator, says a junior chef program, as it is called, also teaches them where their food comes from, as well as culinary skills and healthy eating habits. Although it doesn't fall under typical RCD programs, she says they started Junior Chefs back in 2016 through a USDA grant. They received it in conjunction with the Modesto Certified Farmers Market.
So the Junior Chef program originally started in 2016 in collaboration with the Modesto Certified Farmers Market. We were awarded a grant in 2015. It was the USDA Farmers Market Promotional Program grant. So it kind of started at the farmers market in collaboration with them. The goal is to teach kids to be self-sufficient almost, teach them valuable life skills, and teach them about local food and where their food grows, what local even means, and that supporting farmers is something that we should all be doing. It kind of just teaches them where their food comes from and teaches them, you know, culinary skills, knife skills, and healthy eating habits.
The program is aimed at students ages 9 to 13, and Jacobs says that's because they are using knives, but she says it could possibly be modified for younger age kids.
So we target mostly age ranges from 9 to about 13, so mostly fourth graders to eighth grade, so late elementary and middle school, and that's primarily because they are using knives. We haven't really gone into having the program be for younger kids, but that could be an option that we might look into the future.
At the suggestion of the Health Services Agency of Stanislaus County, the RCD expanded the program from just being held in conjunction with the Modesto Farmers Market into some of the local after-school programs. It continues during the summer in partnership with the farmers market.
We started doing the after-school programs in collaboration with the Health Services Agency of Stanislaus County. They kind of brought this idea to us and they were like, you know, just to make it more accessible to kids who don't go to the farmers market, how about bringing it into the after-school programs? So that's what we started doing. And I believe we started with a few schools for Modesto City Schools. And then last year we did schools in Empire Union and Modesto City Schools. And this year we're kind of just going along that route. We also did a few at Keys Unified School District.
Jacob says the students start by learning how to make a salad, then move on to omelets and fried rice, and finish with zucchini pizza boats.
So we start the first week with a salad, and usually we tweak the salad to, you know, what's seasonal. So we do kind of like a fall-winter salad and a spring-summer salad. The base is romaine, but kind of what's in the salad differs based on seasonality. We also do omelets and fried rice, and that kind of what goes in there is different based on the season as well. And we also do a zucchini pizza boat, which is very popular in the summer. That's personally my favorite. The kids love it too. When it's at the farmer's market, we source everything from the farmer's market. So we kind of shop around at the booths there. But when we do it at the schools, we kind of have to go to the like local farm stands here. So I've actually purchased some stuff from Rodin's before, and Ratto Bros has actually donated some lettuce to us for the program. And so it kind of just depends. Sometimes we do have to go to the store, the supermarket for things, but we try to source as local as possible.
The Junior Chefs program runs throughout the school year, with specific classes held after school twice a week for 2 weeks. Jacob says this was changed from the past to help improve student retention.
We run the program during every month in the school year. So our first round of classes this year is going to start September 5th, and we have it scheduled up until May. But the actual program at the schools is a 4-class cohort. So in the past, we would come in once a week for a month to the after-school program. So let's say it was a Tuesday starting in September, we'd come every Tuesday and we would bring the program in. But we've kind of changed it to where this year we're doing it a little different, where we are coming twice a week to the school to kind of make sure that it's kind of ingrained in the students more, and we have more engagement with them. So we're going, let's say, for example, every Tuesday, Thursday to one school. So there's a 4-class cohort over the span of 2 weeks.
The program is a hit with the students as well as their parents. At times, Jacob says, they've invited parents to attend the last class. Although some adults may be concerned about their children handling knives, she says they have safety measures in place. Junior Chefs also is popular with after-school coordinators because it meets some of their educational requirements.
They love the program, and as a matter of fact, some after-school coordinators and parents have seen it, and they're like, we even want to do a class like this. And so sometimes on the last class, we do invite the parents to come watch and help the kiddos out, and they are super responsive. But sometimes they're like, oh, like the kids are getting knives. So that's the first reluctant, you know, thing, but it's always worked out, and the kids learn. And we obviously have very valuable safety measures that we put in place for the kids. But most of the time, the after-school admin and coordinators, they love the program because they have certain like requirements, especially with the after-school programs. And so it falls under some of those requirements. So they love the program.
The program has proved so popular, in fact, that they have a wait list of schools that want to offer it. But preparing the next generation of foodies takes money. The RCD works off of grants as well as public donations. The organization just finished its large annual fundraising campaign.
So in the past, we have funded it to the schools for free just through grants. So we did have a specialty crop block grant. It was, I think, a 2-year grant that we have received in the past, and it allowed us to bring it to underserved schools and communities so it would be no cost to the schools. We have been running a fundraising campaign so that we can, you know, grow the program and still offer it to schools that may not be able to pay for it, because their funding differs within every district and every school. So we've been kind of taking it into that direction and trying to get as much money as possible for the kiddos in the program. We currently just ended our super big fundraising campaign, but we still have our Square site available, and we are trying to sell aprons that we had purchased for the fundraiser and tote bags. So if a customer or, you know, just a person listening wants to support the program, they can do so by just donating, and they get an apron or a tote bag, or if they can donate any amount.
The RCD has set a goal of giving out 25 aprons and 25 shopping bags. If it reaches that goal, it will fund 20 new cooking stations. I look at it as an investment in education. Nurturing cooking skills pays lifelong dividends by instilling healthy lifestyles as well as knowledge about where food comes from. To donate, visit east-stanislaw-rcd.square.site. Stanislaw is spelled Stanislaus. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
With almond and pistachio harvest in full swing, this could be your last chance to get the navel orangeworm control you need. Power up late season NOW control with the exceptional flexibility and performance of Spearlep. Spearlep's unique mode of action provides excellent NOW control, and because there's 0-day PHI and it's MRL exempt, you can safely return to the field within a few hours of spraying. Visit Vestaron.com to find your local sales representative or call your retailer to get more information.
Despite the severe heat, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the rice crop is doing well.
Rice has been remarkably resilient in the face of 110-degree heat in some areas, and certainly into the triple digits in just about all rice-producing areas in the last week and longer for some areas. In terms of rice condition, we're sitting reasonably good, remarkably, again, in the face of heat and drought, 73% good to excellent, 3% very poor to poor. It's actually a slight improvement from last week's numbers, 68% good to excellent and 4% very poor to poor, and even a little better than last year at this time when we were at 70% good to excellent and 4% very poor to poor.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. A national survey of 30 farmers shows a favorable outcome in using soil health strategies. National Association of Conservation Districts Second Vice President Bill Simshauser says that the survey was a multi-year collaborative project between the USDA, Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Soil Health Institute, and NACD. He says that they wanted to assess the economics of soil health management systems to learn more about the financial impacts of soil health practices in varying soil types, geographic locations, and cropping systems. Simshauser highlights key findings.
Not only did these practices reduce expenses, but they also increased net farm income. So, example, the increased net farm income by $65 an acre on the average, and for 29 conventional farms, including $47 an acre for corn and $34 an acre for soybeans. Also found out that by implementing these practices, soil health practices, reduced production costs such as fertilizer and pesticide inputs by $14 an acre for corn and $7 an acre for soybeans. And then also found out that on 42% of the farms, it increased yields.
Therefore, he says it is important to make sure that conservation programs such as the Environmental Quality Incentives Program are adequately funded in the 2023 Farm Bill. The results of a Checkoff-initiated smoothie program pilot showed increased milk and yogurt consumption and will be offered to more schools this fall. Research shows fruit smoothies are more popular than energy drinks, flavored water, juices, and soft drinks with Gen Z consumers. Dairy Management Incorporated partnered with Chartwell's K-12, a food management company that serves more than 2 million meals in 4,500 schools daily for the pilot last year. The results were encouraging enough for the company to make the smoothie program available to its entire suite of schools this year. General Mills joined the effort by providing culinary support and training, and Hubert, a food service equipment manufacturer, offered blenders and other materials at a discounted rate. Chefs from Chartwell's and General Mills collaborated to produce 30 recipes that contain at least one of the daily recommended servings of dairy and fruit. A survey conducted after the pilot showed a very positive response from students, school food service staff, and administrators. The merger of Farm Credit of New Mexico and American Ag Credit Farm Cooperatives will be effective October 1st. The merger will create one Farm Credit Association with enhanced marketplace stability, increased funding capacity, and better access to technology, according to the organizations. The voting stockholders of Farm Credit of New Mexico re-voted for the proposed merger after a reconsideration process established by the Farm Credit Administration. American Ag Credit CEO Kurt Hundent will lead the merger. The October 1st, 2023 effective merger date is pending final Farm Credit Association approval. Regional obesity rates grew further apart during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to USDA's Economic Research Service. From 2019 to March of 2020, adult obesity rates ranged from a low of 36.7% in the West to the highest rate of 43.1% in the South, a 6.4 percentage point difference. The regional difference has expanded to 7.2 percentage points during the first year of the pandemic, from a low of 37.4% in the Northeast to a high of 44.6% in the Midwest. The Midwest had the second highest rate before the pandemic, but increased nearly twice as much as the South, emerging as the region with the highest obesity rate as of March 2021.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.